I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel, commencing to read at verse 46 down to the final verse in 52. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, commencing to read at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we know that God will add his blessing to his precious word for Jesus' sake. A moment ago we sang a lovely hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I wonder today, have you counted your blessings as you've come to God's house? Maybe you come out into the wind and into the rain. And maybe you came with a murmuring heart because it wasn't what you wanted or maybe even expected. And yet, friends, I wonder today, have you counted the blessings that God has given you that you were able to come into the wind and able to go through the rain? I often think, you know, that we never appreciate the blessings that God gives us, the blessings of health and strength, the blessing that we're able to walk, the blessing that we're able to talk, the blessing that we're able to see. Somehow we don't take cognizance of those blessings until that they're taken away. And then we realize how richly blessed we really were. Think of the blessings of the ability to eat and to drink. I remember some years ago, there was a wee man in the hospital. I was visiting him there in the intensive care unit. And this wee man, I'd visited him a number of times down the years, but this wee man was lying in the intensive care, and he wasn't allowed to have a drink of water. And when I went into the intensive care, he called me over and he said to me, Please, Mr. McRae, please give me water. He says, I'm so parched, I'm so dry. And I wondered why that he wasn't allowed the water, and so therefore, to be very careful that I wasn't doing something was wrong, I called the nurse. And I said, Nurse, this little man wants something very simple. He wants a drink of water. She says to me, Mr. McRae, I can't give him any. His sickness, he's not allowed any water. No water at all. And I said, Could you not give him something? And then she finally, after some persuasion, she gave in to give him 1 teaspoonful of water. And she said to me these words. She says, Mr. McRae, to give him more than that teaspoonful would not be worth my job. Because if I give him more, I would be sick. I'll never forget the words the man when he received that little teaspoonful of water. I'll never forget the words he said to me as he looked up with those eyes that were begging for water. And he said these words to me, and I never forgot it. He said, Mr. McRae, I'd gladly give my wee farm for for a glass of cold water. I'd gladly give him a wee farm for a glass of cold water. And yet, friends, don't we take the blessings for granted? The blessings of being able to walk and talk. Well, the story here is the story of a man who is blind. A man who cannot see. Now, in Bible times, we'll find that just as today, the affliction of blindness existed. And there were many people that were blind. In actual fact, the law ordered kindness to be shown to those who are blind. But in reality, it was the very opposite. Because when a person was blind, in the Bible times out there in the East, many of those who were blind were neglected. And many of them, because they weren't able to work for a living, they were put as outcasts. They were just cast aside. And I want us to understand just some little things, simple things, about this story here that the Lord Jesus Christ has recorded in His precious Word. Because the Bible says, go to verse 46 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and keep your Bibles open, because what we want to say is found here. Let's notice, first of all, the circumstances of Bartimaeus. It tells us that they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now, could I say something about it? Listen. You notice it says there, his name was Bartimaeus. Now, I'm not sure where actually that was his proper name or that's what he was called. Because the word Bar means son. That's the meaning of the word Bar, son. Now, you'll notice it says here, the son of Timaeus. Add Bar and Timaeus together, and what do you get? You get Bartimaeus. And so, therefore, it simply means son of Timaeus. Now, whether that was his actual name or not, or that was the name he was called because he was a son of Timaeus, that doesn't really count here. But we find that he was a man, there was a man called Timaeus, and he had a son, and he lived near Jericho, and he had a son that was blind. And because of the blindness of this young man, we find that he grew up and he was unable to fend for himself. And there came a moment in his life where he was neglected or he was cast out. Because the Bible says that he was sitting by the highway side begging. You know, if you have never known what it is to have the challenge of blindness, then, friend, you ought to rejoice in the blessings of the blessings of sight. I often think of our hymn book. We have a hymn book, and many of the hymns that were written in that hymn book were written by a woman called Fanny Crosby. Some of the great hymns that we sing, service after service, were written by Fanny Crosby. Now, who was Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was a young woman, and in childhood, there was, because of a lack of oxygen or of something that happened in her childbirth, that Fanny Crosby lost her sight. And her daddy died, and their mother had to go out and work. And because of that, the grandmother would take Fanny around and would take her around the places, and she would explain to her the beauty of creation. And whenever you read Fanny Crosby's hymns, let me tell you, you'd think that she had tremendous sight. And the reality was, because of a good and godly grandmother that would explain the beauty of the flowers, and Fanny couldn't see the beauty of the countryside, but her granny would tell her about the beauty of God's creation and about the wonder of it all. And then, of course, God gave her a spiritual sight. Let me tell you, there's something even more tragic than natural blindness, friend, is spiritual blindness. When a man or woman cannot see the truth of the gospel, they cannot see the glory and the wonder of Christ, they cannot see the reality and the sin of their heart, because they are spiritually blind, because the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And here is a young man, and he's blind, and he's sitting by the wayside, because there's something that went with blindness. As an outcast, he was cast away from his family, and he was sitting there by the highway side begging. He was in poverty. And as he would sit there, he would hold out his hand. And he would beg just for people who are walking past that someone would be kind enough to give them something. Because there's something that goes together, friend, blindness and poverty, way back in those days. Let me tell you, that also in the spiritual realm goes together, because spiritual blindness will lead to spiritual poverty. And a man may have plenty as far as the world is concerned, but if he hasn't Jesus Christ as a Savior, then, my friend, in reality, he has absolutely nothing. Because one day he's got to take the greatest journey of them all, and that's out of time and into God's eternity. And if a man hasn't Jesus Christ, who is the way to heaven, then he's lost. And he's in poverty of soul. Let me ask you a question tonight. If God was to claim you and take you to eternity, friend, tell me, have you anything for that journey? Are you ready to go? Have you the preparation made? Or have you to honestly say, listen, you have all the comforts of the world, you have all the blessings of the world in the natural sense, in the natural scene, but as far as your soul is concerned, you're like this man, you're sitting spiritually blind. Spiritual poverty. Of course, you'll see where he's sitting, friend. He's sitting outside Jericho. And where was that? He was sitting in the city of the curse. Do you remember God cursed Jericho? God said that cursed be he that buildeth again Jericho. And the man did, and God cursed the man for doing it, because in the reign of wicked King Ahab, the curse of God was fulfilled upon a man. It was in Jericho that Achan ignored what God said, and he brought condemnation not only on himself, but he brought condemnation on his family. And dear unsaved person in this service tonight, you're maybe not sitting at the wayside begging. You're not naturally doing that, but here you are sitting in God's house. But listen, you're under the curse of God. You know not Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. You're under the condemnation of God. And your sin has brought the curse of God upon your sin and upon your soul. And if you don't run to Christ, and if you don't find Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior and as your Lord, you will die spiritually blind and spiritually poor. And go out into a lost eternity without hope. That's the circumstances of Bartimaeus. But look quickly at the conviction of Bartimaeus. Because one day, as Bartimaeus sat, as he had done many times before, one day was to be different. One day, as Bartimaeus was sitting along that wayside, begging as usual, he heard a great noise. It was a noise that was different than usual. There was an excitement in the air. There was something, there was an expectation in the air. And whilst it's true that Bartimaeus was unable to see, listen, friend, he used the things that God had given him. You see, God had given him hearing. And God had given him speaking ability. And so he used the faculties that God, he hadn't the blessing of sight, but he had the faculties of hearing and speaking. And so he uses the blessings that God has given. You know, maybe sometimes we complain because maybe we haven't the gifts that other people have. Let me tell you, friend, use the blessings you have. Just use the blessings you have. And Bartimaeus, as he sits there along the wayside begging, and he hears this noise, he knows there's something different. He has got a sense. There is a sense within him. There's something different today. There's something happening today. And as Bartimaeus sits along the wayside, and he's reaching out his hand to beg, he hears the sound of the noise of the crowd. And he listens. Because he uses the senses that God and the faculties that God has given him. And then he inquires and he says, tell me, what does it mean? What does it mean? What's the noise? What's the excitement in the air? What's it all about? He had an inquiring heart. And they said to him, verse 47, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth was passing that way. You know, this was the final journey. Listen to me carefully. This was the last journey that Jesus was ever to take through Jericho. He never came that way again. The Lord Jesus Christ, within 7 days, He would hang a cross. For He was on His way to Calvary. And as that blind man sits along that wayside, thank God Jesus passed that way on the final journey to the cross. Let me tell you, friend, it's important to use the opportunities that God gives you. What does the Bible say? Seek ye the Lord while He may be, what? Found. It says, call ye upon Him while He is near. And here was an opportunity for this man. Listen, he would never get the opportunity again. It would never come again. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would never go this way again. It was the last time that Christ would ever go this way. And as Jesus Christ makes His way to the cross, He passes by that wayside where Bartimaeus is. And you know, He takes the only opportunity he has to call on Jesus. You know, last Sunday night, our brother David Hannah was giving his testimony. What did David tell us? David told us the first time he heard the gospel. The first time as a young man in his late teens that he heard the gospel, friend. Listen, he called on God to save him. You know, God's giving you an opportunity, for Jesus is passing your way tonight. And God has given you a blessed opportunity to call upon the Lord. Now notice, friend, listen. This man had heard about Jesus before. You say, how do you know? Well, just read carefully what it says. Verse 47. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Why did he not say, Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth! They said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing that way. And when the man heard it, my, there was an excitement in his soul. And he cries out from the depths of his being, Jesus! Thou Son of David! He didn't say Jesus of Nazareth. Because you see, this man had heard about Jesus before. Although he was blind, yet hearing. I don't know who ever told him what crowd he was sitting in before, but he had heard about Jesus. And my, what this man had heard. Listen, what he had heard, he had believed the testimony concerning Jesus Christ. They would tell him how he raised the dead. They would tell him how that he gave life to the little boy of Nain. They would tell him how that he had given sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And here this man hears about Jesus, and in his heart there's a stirring. And my, when he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way, he cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David. What was the difference, friend? I'll tell you very simply. You see the title, Son of David. That was the title given by the Jews to the expected Messiah. And in that man's heart he believed that this man, Jesus, was God's anointed Messiah. Just keep your hand there a wee second. This is important. Because this man, let me tell you, believed and knew that Messiah would come. And if you turn back to the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, this is what it says. Isaiah chapter 42. And when you go to verse number 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. And will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes,
to bring out the prisoners from the prison. And then that said in darkness out of the prison house, I am the Lord, that is my name.
And in this man's heart he knew that Jesus Christ, this is God's anointed Messiah. And the prophet said that the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. And when Bartimaeus sat on that roadside, and he heard Jesus is passing this way, there was a stirring in the soul, and the Word of God came to him in power, and he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, thou anointed Messiah, open mine eyes. For you'd open the eyes of the blind. And the blind man, he believed. Let me tell you something. Many a day that man sat at that wayside begging, and the crowds walked past and gave him nothing. Many a day his body was wrecked not only with pain, but his heart was broken and his body was wrecked with hunger. And day after day, hopelessness within his soul. But you see, when he heard Jesus was passing that way, there was a stirring in his soul, friend. There was a hope in the very name of Jesus that springs into his heart. And all Bartimaeus had to go on was on the witness or the testimony of others. But he believed it. He believed it with all his heart. Will you believe the testimony of God concerning this man Jesus? God has given us his word tonight. God has got a testimony. He can change your life. He can open the eyes of the blind. He can set the prisoner free. If you're here tonight and you're prisoned and imprisoned by sin, and my, the chains and the shackles of sin are upon you, and you try to change your life, and you try to break the chains of alcohol or immorality or whatever the sin is in your life, my friend, and you say, preacher, but I've tried. God knows I've tried. I've cried. God knows many a night I've cried myself to sleep, longing for deliverance, longing for my life to be changed. God tells us he can do it. That's the witness of God, friend. And I hold in my hand the witness of God concerning God's Son, that he can open the eyes of the blind and he can set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Glory to God. His blood avails for you and his blood avails for me. Tell me, would you believe it? And this man, Bartimaeus, he believes the testimony concerning Jesus. Quickly, the cry. Notice it says here in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, verse 47, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But notice the cry of Bartimaeus. You see, immediately he heard it was Jesus passing by, he started to cry. You see that word cry? First of all, there's the loudness of his cry. Because the word there, cry, means scream. He started to shout at the top of his voice for him. Screamed out! Jesus! Jesus! See, there was a crowd that day. His heart was broken. He longed for healing. There was an earnestness in his soul. He wanted Jesus to come. He wanted Jesus to heal him. But there were many obstacles, and there was an eagerness. His case was desperate. You know, there was a crowd passing that day. He didn't cry for food. He didn't cry for clothing. He didn't cry for housing. Didn't ask for any of those things, but he did cry. The loudness of his cry. Secondly, the lowliness of his cry. What did he cry, friend, for? He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy.
Have mercy on me.
And here's a poor old broken soul sitting at the side of the road, friend, and he's begging. And he doesn't plead merit, for he has no merit. He pleads mercy. What did David say? According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You remember the man in the scriptures who had got a demon-possessed son? And he cried, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on my son. Do you remember the woman in the scriptures? And she got a demon-possessed daughter and she cried, have mercy on me, O Lord. Do you remember the old publican? He went into the temple and as he bowed his head before God, he said this. He says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He needed mercy. Oh, friend, tonight, let me tell you, you need the mercy of God tonight, for if God is not merciful to you. If God gives you what you do deserve, you'll be damned, you'll be in hell for all eternity, for I deserve that. But God was gracious. God was a merciful God, and that he withheld from me what I did deserve. God is a gracious God, and he gives me what I don't deserve. And I hear not only the loudness of his cry, I hear the lowliness of his cry. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Not my brother or my sister, but it's me, dear Lord. I'm standing in need of prayer. Then let me tell you, you need to cry to God for mercy tonight. The Lord Jesus is passing this way. He's a God willing. He's a God ready to pardon, but you need to call out on him. And this man, at the loudness of his voice, he cries out, he screams out, Jesus! Meaning Savior. Savior. Have mercy on me. You call to the church tonight, friend. Let me tell you, the church can't save you. You kneel down at the altar rail. And the altar rail or the sacraments will never save you or cleanse your soul. You need mercy tonight. And it's only Christ, the Son of God, can be merciful to you. And then we see the loathing of his cry. It says they charged him. Or they scolded him. That he should hold his peace. And the crowd tried to silence him. The devil doesn't want the sinner to cry. The devil's crowd don't want you to leave your sin, friend. The devil wants to hold you chained and fettered. He wants to bind you. He wants to damn you. You know, the sad reality is this. There are many of God's people who haven't got a burden for the sinner either. Do you remember the day the mothers brought the children to Jesus? Tell me, who told them to take them away? Don't bother the master. Who was it, friend? It was the disciples. They hadn't a love. They couldn't see them as Jesus saw them. And you know, there's some, and here's a person who gets saved, and here's a young believer, and my, they're filled with zeal and happiness in serving Christ, and here's another believer, and he comes like an old wet blanket, and he tries to put the fire and the zeal out of the young believer's heart. I want to tell you, friend, you rejoice when God lights the soul of a child of God. You rejoice when God gives them a tremendous love for the things of God, and here's the crowd, and they said, be silent! The cry of Bartimaeus, but look quickly, the comfort of Bartimaeus. Verse 49, Jesus stood still. Oh, there was a crowd that day, but Jesus heard beyond the crowd. He heard the cry of a poor broken soul. And it says, Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. In actual fact, Luke's Gospel puts an added thing on the story. Because in Luke's Gospel chapter 18, where this story is given, it says, and Jesus commanded him to be brought unto him. This man was blind. He needed help. And the crowd that tried to silence him, Jesus said, listen, help him. Bring them to me. And Jesus stood still that day and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, or be of good comfort. Rise. For he calleth thee. Thank God there's comfort tonight. You're invited to come to Jesus. If you come into this service as a sinner, let me tell you, you can go out and see him. You come into this service lost. Glory to God. You can be found. You come into this service bound. Glory to God. You can be set free. You come into the service blinded by your sin. Glory to God. He can open the eyes of the blind. You can behold the beauty of Christ. He needed help. And Jesus says, bring him to me. And that brings me to the coming of Bartimaeus, verse 50. And he cast away his garment, rose, and he came to Jesus. See that garment there? You know, there was an outer garment that they had. It was, in actual fact, it was that outer garment was a long, flowing robe or garment. The oriental garment was so large that, in actual fact, some people slept in it. Poor old Bartimaeus, as he sat by the roadside, maybe in many a night he did sleep in it. But they come to him and they said, listen, be of good comfort, rise, for the Master calleth thee. And the Bible says, he casting away his garment rose. In other words, he removed the hindrances. He got rid of the hindrances, those things that would trip him up. He didn't want anything to stop him from coming to Jesus. All he wanted was to get to the feet of Jesus. He knew that Christ alone was the answer. And got an old, long, flowing garment that many a night he'd slept in. And he just threw it off. It was an impediment. It was a hindrance. He just left it there. And he came to Jesus. Let me say, friend, tonight, maybe there's something in your life. And you've got to lay it aside. You've got to, in your coming to Christ, friend, there's those things that's there, the sins in your life, friend. Let me tell you, you can't hold on to them. If there's going to be a repentance, if there's going to be a turning to Christ, you've got to let go of them. You can't hold on to them. Holy Ghost says, let us lay aside every weight on the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this poor old blind man, he gets up, and he's fumbling over his old garment, and let me tell you, he's so earnest to get to Jesus. Away with it, he says! Away with the garments! I want Jesus. That's all I want. That's all I need. And then notice the confession, verse 51. Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? Why did Jesus ask? Did Jesus not know what he was looking for? Oh, yes, he did. And why did he say it, friend? I'll tell you. Because he wanted the man to make the confession of his need. Just as simple as that. He wanted the man to confess his need. And the Bible says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want my sight, Lord. And you see the word there, Lord. It means my great master. My great Master. My Master. And you've got to tell the Lord your need tonight. Come on, tell Him. You need salvation. Your sin. You need cleansing. You need pardon. You need peace with Him. Why didn't you tell Him? The Lord Jesus knew what this man needed. Naturally, He needed to say. But He wanted him to confess his need. What was wrong? What he was needing? What the Word of God is saying? It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness and cleanse us from all our sin. My Master. Sight. Notice the change as we close. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. Notice what Jesus said. Here's the change. He said, go thy way. Let me tell you, he didn't need others anymore. He didn't need them. Glory to God, he had the touch of Christ. The miracle was wrought. And the Lord Jesus didn't send him back to his wayside seat to beg. No, he says, go thy way. Because no longer needed you to sit begging. To go back to his begging spot then would have to deny the miracle that already happened in him. And Jesus says, here's the proof of his healing. He says, go. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole, thy faith saved thee. And notice the wee word. And immediately. The work of God's done immediately, friend. You don't work into salvation. When a sinner calls on Jesus to save him, glory to God, he saves him. When a sinner confesses a sin, glory to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And immediately, instantaneous salvation, one moment blind, the next moment, glory to God, he could see. One moment you're on your way to hell, but praise God, by the blessed grace of God, you're on your way to heaven. Go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then notice this. Oh, he's changed all right. And follow Jesus. Oh, that's what he wants you to do tonight. He wants you to follow. I want you to follow. Some years ago in France, there was a man walking past a beggar. And as he walked past the beggar, he put his hand in his pocket and he took out a coin. And he handed it to the blind man, the blind beggar. And as the man was going to walk away, the blind man said to him, he said, Sir, you have made a mistake. You give me a crown instead of a penny. For all the man thought he would get was a penny. And you know, that touched that man. And so he stopped with a blind beggar and he said to him, but let me ask you, how did you know it was a crown? How did you know it was a crown? And not a penny. And the blind man said, sir, it's enough for me to pass my finger over it. That's how I know. And you know, that gave that man an idea. That blind people could read if they had raised letters. But he wasn't able to affect that himself. Until one day, another Frenchman called Louis Braille, who was blinded in 1812 owing to an accident when he was 3 years of age, and he invented writing for the blind by a system of raised dots. Let me tell you, friend, you're blinded by your sin. And all that the world can offer you will never change your heart. All that the church could do could never save your soul. Well, praise God, there's an answer. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Oh, that we would see Jesus. Oh, that you'd get your eyes of the church. Oh, that you'd get your eyes of the sacrament. Oh, that you'd get your eyes of yourself and your own self-righteousness and your own good works that will take you to hell. Get your eyes on Jesus, friend. And it says in Revelation 22 and 4, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their forehead. What does that mean, friend? What does it mean his name shall be on their forehead? That's your identification. Identified with Christ. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me, only faintly now I see Him. For there's a darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Will you call on Him tonight? Lord, save me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. For He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Now there's one in our gathering, Lord, thou art speaking to in this place. Bring them through. Give them deciding grace. Let them not go on another second in their sin, but oh God, stop them in their track and turn them to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For Jesus saved. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend. Before we go from the service tonight, let me give you a simple invitation. Jesus, the Son of God, He's passing this way. He's a God that's ready to pardon. He's a God that's able to save. Will you call on Him? Lord Jesus, save me. I perish. Whosoever shall call, whoever you are tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, friend, there is nobody else can save you but Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Not might be, but shall be. It's real. Glory to God, it's real. Jesus really saves. Jesus really satisfies your soul. He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Why don't you call upon Him, friend? Why don't you call on Him now? Mother, in God's name, call upon Him. Father, in God's name, call upon Him. Jesus! Jesus, save me! Save me now. Young fellow, why don't you call on Him? Bound and fettered by sin. Young woman, in God's name, He's passing. Maybe you'll never pass your way again. Will you call? Just as I am without one plea. For that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. And if there's one in the closing moments of this meeting, up there in the gallery or downstairs, and God has spoken to your heart, you say, "Preacher, lead me to Jesus. I'd love to be saved. Point me back to the Lord. I'd love to be restored. Point me to Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come." As her heads are bowed and her eyes are closed, and we sing this little verse. Would you lift that hand that I see it indicate the desire? I'm raising my hand to heaven, not that man will see it, but preacher, I want you to know I want Jesus tonight. I want you to lead me to the Savior. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there someone tonight you say, "Preacher, lead me to Christ"? Just lift that hand right now that I'll see it, friend. Don't be afraid or ashamed. The lovely Savior's passing this way tonight. He's a God ready to pardon. He's a lovely Savior ready to save your soul. Will you call on Him right now? Would you slip that hand above your head that I'll see it? Just as I am, and waiting not the final verse, and then the meeting's over. Just as I am, and waiting not. Don't wait another second. God's spoken to you, friend. Why didn't you step out on the promise? Why didn't you take God at His word tonight? Get on to the precious blood. There's a one right now. Just lift that hand that I'll see it above your head. Father, Mother, God bless you, sir. Is there someone else tonight? I come. Your anxious soul, listen tonight, please, in God's name, don't step halfway. Step out on the promises of God. Take Him at His word. We're going to stand to our feet and we'll sing that little verse. Art thou waiting till tomorrow, thou mayest never see His light. Come at once, accept His mercy. He's waiting. Come tonight. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. You say, "I didn't get my hand up, but I'd love to come to Jesus." And I'll slip down to the frontier. Every head will be bowed and every eye will be closed. We want no one looking around. It's invitation time. Friend, I want you to just slip out of your seat wherever you are. The door will be open here just beside the pulpit. Slip across there into the inquiry room. The Word of God will be opened. You make it to Jesus tonight. He's ready to see it. Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And whether you're up in the gallery or downstairs, the invitation is for you. Let's sing this little verse, friend. Oh, be saved. Oh, be saved. I beg you in God's name, be saved tonight. He died for thee. Just leave that seat where you are and come. In Jesus' name. Art thou waiting till tomorrow? Just the room stood across there. The room stood across in the end. Thank you.
there someone else tonight? Friend, oh, be saved. We thank God for one precious soul. But friend, what about you? Are you waiting till tomorrow? You may never see its light. Come at once, accept His mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me. And the Savior stopped. Bring Him to me. Will you help somebody else to come to Jesus tonight? Will you, friend? God forbid you'd ever hinder somebody. May God help you to bring somebody. Lord, separate we your blessing. Thank you for answering prayer. Oh God, may our friend be well born of thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.